Welcome back into Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. We're halfway home. Sports Talk will take over coming up at 3 o'clock today. Stop by, text the word that's on the table with me here to 68255. Give yourself a chance to win the Michelob Ultra Golf Giveaway. Right here is in Morristown. The Fast Stop, 2900 West Andrew Johnson Highway. It's their grand opening day, so giveaway items here. And again, your chance to win the Michelob Ultra Golf Giveaway. Here until 3 o'clock. And we are pleased to welcome to the show Will Shelton of GameDay on RockyTop.com, joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Will, appreciate the time as always, and want to get football and basketball in. We'll start on the hoop side as news came out today that Corey Walker is entering the transfer portal. EJ Anasicki plans to transfer after transferring to Tennessee a year ago. Keon Johnson declared for the draft as we expected. What do you think as we continue to see more roster turnover from Tennessee's basketball team this past year?
There may come a time a couple years from now where we say, okay, this is just the way it is with the transfer portal, that like this sort of movement becomes normal. But it has the feeling here in this moment of Tennessee was so deep coming into this past season. And now you kind of look around, and we're assuming Tennessee's going to do some addition as well and not just some subtraction here. But
right.
You look around and just not only trying to put together a starting five, not only not being exactly sure what John Fulkerson's going to do, you just start to worry a little bit at this point about if somebody does get injured next season, how deep is Tennessee going to be able to be? Are they going to have – I think Tennessee's going to have four or five really good players. Are they going to have seven really good players? Are they going to have guys that they can really – rely on in the second unit in the NCAA tournament, things like that. Specifically with Pons, we saw that in the NCAA tournament this year. When Fulkerson was out and Pons got in foul trouble, Tennessee was just searching for it. And some of the guys they were trying to plug in now have hit the transfer portal themselves. So, again, in a couple of years, this may just be kind of a realization of this is how it is, and everybody's kind of retooling on the fly every single year based on playing time and opportunities and things like that. But, Barnes and these guys have done such a good job in recruiting and have a great reputation, even though there's turnover on the assistant coaching staff and all that stuff. You got to trust these guys to get it figured out. It's just when you want to look ahead to next season and you're trying to figure out, all right, they'll put these guys on the floor together, it feels like a very incomplete puzzle right now, and certainly hate that they didn't get what they wanted from Anasicki. Didn't get what they certainly thought they had in recruiting with Walker. You know, just kind of everybody in college basketball kind of trying to figure this whole portal thing out right now.
So as a fan, how do you reconcile in your mind, or how would you tell people to reconcile in their minds? You know, 12 months ago, you were so pumped for the best recruiting class that didn't have Bernard King in it. In the history of your program, and 12 weird months later, that class is gone.
Yeah, I think that, especially with Corey Walker, I guess there's some stuff we'll just never know. I mean, he never saw the floor.
Yeah.
So there's just kind of – that just kind of goes as an incomplete on your report card there, and you just move on to something else. I don't know how many Tennessee fans thought that Jaden Springer would automatically be a one-and-done. I think everybody from the get-go knew what they were getting into with Keon Johnson, and that's just part of the equation of recruiting guys that are rated that high. It's something interesting, and we've been researching this. We haven't finished it to put it on the site yet, but you know, the idea that you want the best players always, sure, let's get the most talented players, that always tends to work out well, but unless you're able to put together two or even three of those one and done guys, like some of those Duke or Kentucky super teams that we've seen, the teams that win it all are typically don't have the one-and-done guys. I know Baylor is just the most recent example of that. Gonzaga certainly could have had one had they won earlier this week, but Jalen Suggs was not the only first-round draft pick on Gonzaga. So Barnes has plenty of experience with this from Texas, and even though this is a brand-new thing for Tennessee, I think there is just kind of an understanding of you might be better off with what someone like Josiah Jordan James has turned into, where when he signs, at the time you think, hey, this guy might be a one-and-done, might be the best player we've had here since Allen Houston or whatever the case may be. And it turns out now he's one of the guys you do feel best about going into his third year. So it's always going to take talent to get Tennessee to the Final Four. It's going to take first round talent to get Tennessee to the Final Four, and they had that a couple years ago with Grant Williams. But not just national championships, most of the teams that are making the Final Four are not teams that are the one-and-done guys, not teams when you look at the top of the NBA mock drafts. You know, Oklahoma State, Cade Cunningham went down in round two. Southern Cal didn't make it. I mean, that's just – again, Barnes would know all this better than me, better than anybody. So some of this, I think, is just for us as Tennessee fans. The only other time we did one and done was 10 years ago with Tobias Harris. So we'll see what happens with Kennedy Chandler. But I think there is a recognition that, hey, just because you signed these very best guys as freshmen, it's not going to automatically translate into a Final Four, because that's unless you're Duke or Kentucky, you've got so many of these guys. That's really not how it's working for anybody right now.
We're talking to Will Shelton, game day on RockyTop.com. Tennessee announced yesterday, I guess it was, that they will have an open practice tomorrow. Will, what do you think there, and just some of the efforts Tennessee is trying to do to create connection with Tennessee fans, and then what reaction have you found from the last week with some of the conversation around Tennessee football? What's going on in the practice field?
Yeah, I think everybody appreciates the extra access. I'm sure you guys at Credential Media appreciate that. Fans do too. Again, you're getting to hear different assistant coaches. You're getting to hear different players. It's just more access and more meaningful access, it feels like, I think, for fans than anything we saw under Jeremy Pruitt. I know Butch Jones did some of the open practice stuff, so, like, we need to see one. I don't recall that Butch Jones did it necessarily right away in his first spring or anything like that, but you know, I think that it's good to have it open and good to get people together, especially for a lot of folks that maybe weren't able to come to a game last fall. And then, too, like, let's see what they do in the practice. How much are they going to let quarterbacks throw to receivers, whether it's in 7-on-7 or 11-on-11? That's what people want to see. So, you know, how much is that going to happen in this open practice? It'll certainly happen in the orange and white game. I hate the weather doesn't look like anybody's friend here for that tomorrow, so hopefully they can be creative with that if they need to. But, yeah, I mean, so far so good with that. I think it's one of those things where you're getting some of the pendulum swing that we always see, going from how closed off and kind of one voice things were with Jeremy Pruitt to what Heupel is able to do. So, yeah, any little nibble of that stuff helps. And let's see how much, quote-unquote, meaningful football they let people see in the open practice.
One of the buzzwords from Josh Heupel yesterday was positivity. I'm trying to think of how I would phrase my question, but what do you think he is doing from a cultural standpoint to really instill this positivity around the program as you're still a really long way away from playing games?
Well, I think, you know, things that jump out that fans get to see, the dodgeball, hearing about the ice cream truck, all that stuff, you know, it's good. That's fun. That's good for guys that have not been around. You know, none of these guys now at Tennessee were on the team in 2016. These guys have not been around much winning other than the tail end of 2 years ago in the Gator Bowl. So that's good for players. It's good for fans to see. I think they do a good job, not just Heupel, but Tennessee's athletic department does a good job with they've always done a good job with their video production and things like that, but getting players involved in podcasts or in videos and things like that, that's going to help those players' brands and all that stuff. I think Heupel, you know, when he came out after the first spring practice and talked about how he liked what he saw and all that stuff, I've been kind of waiting to hear one where he comes out and says, didn't like what we saw today, you know, didn't like the energy, didn't like it. It's going to happen with every team. And I don't know that we've heard a whole ton of that. So you have to have – your positivity has to be – it has to exist in some realism at the same time. And one of the things that really quickened the departure of Butch Jones was trying to be positive at the tail end of things with cliches, things like that, that just didn't fit with the results we were seeing on the field and kind of felt like things were getting passed over. So, you know, not only does Tennessee have to win at some point in time, you can't just always be positive for the sake of being positive. But I think so far, Heupel's done a good job kind of talking about how they have a long way to go and things like that. But I haven't heard one of those, well, we really didn't like it today, or we really didn't like the energy today, or whatever. So that's going to happen, like I say, sooner or later. They're going to have a bad practice. So I'm curious to kind of listening for that a little bit to see how he handles that sort of stuff.
Yeah, there's probably a sweet spot where you want, like, you want one or two bad energy practices, right? At some point, the coach is going to say we had bad energy, just to say it because you got to call the team out for something. You don't want it too off. When it becomes the norm that the energy is bad, that's when you have a problem.
Right, and the reverse of that too, you know, if Heupel comes out of this thing and is like, man, every practice was great, everything was just, we love our quarterbacks, everybody's great, then if Tennessee doesn't put 80 on Bowling Green and beat Pittsburgh,
right.
Then people
yeah.
are, yeah, yeah, people are going to feel like they got sold something that wasn't true. So
right.
This is where it's advantageous that he, one, has been a head coach before, that Jeremy Pruitt didn't have, and two, he played at Oklahoma. I know he, I mean, he's a couple years older than me. I know he didn't play at Oklahoma in the time of social media and things like that, but like, he gets it. He knows what it's like to be the face of a program playing for a national championship on the national scene. Like, he understands those things and understands kind of how a fan base like Oklahoma, like Tennessee, needs to be communicated to. So yeah, you know, I'll be, hopefully the bad practice is not tomorrow, right? It's not the open practice tomorrow. Where everybody comes out and they say, we were really bad today. It was no good at all.
Hey, Will, let me ask you a quick question, too. When you're looking at just Tennessee and what they're trying to do here, what they're trying to sell, we were talking about it earlier. How do you balance, like, selling the tradition of Tennessee football, even though that was two decades ago at the highlight, versus, hey, this is what we've got going in the future, and really get these kids to buy in?
Yeah, it's tough. That totally depends on who you're trying to sell it to. It's tough selling the tradition stuff to certainly recruits. And, you know, I wonder how they sell it to their students. How are you selling, you know, come to these games? And not so much come to the games. I think students will come to the game. What they need to sell to the student section is come to the game, be invested in the third quarter. Come to the game and don't plan on leaving at time because, you know, the idea that you've got something better to do later that night, there shouldn't be better things to do than Tennessee football when Tennessee football is really going well. So I think that the passion and all that stuff is going to be there. And, you know, one of the most positive things I think in these last 10 or 12 years has been it doesn't take winning championships to get it back. I mean, we've seen it's striking to me how often I hear younger people talk about the crowd in that 2015 Oklahoma game, which Tennessee lost.
Yeah.
And, you know, wasn't like that wasn't a top 10 showdown or anything like that. And still people talk about what a great and hot crowd that was, you know, and that's just 6 years ago. So it goes to show that a thing like that can happen and can exist at Tennessee. You don't have to wait to the end to get that back. So, you know, there's going to be kind of an on-ramp with the schedule this year. When your big home game in an odd-numbered year is Georgia, now that's at the end of the year. So you're going to kind of ramp it up a little bit here with Pittsburgh and then South Carolina and Ole Miss. But they don't need to sell to the people my age and older. We know all that stuff. But I think just getting students and younger fans in the building, getting them connected with what's going on, and scoring points, even if they are not winning. The brand of football that should be on the field this fall at least should be more exciting, certainly, than what we've seen in the last 4 years.
All right, Will, before you go, what's going on at Game Day on RockyTop.com?
We're working on magazine stuff again for our Game Day on Rocky Top preseason magazine that will be out later this summer. We put on our site today the old expected win total machine. We always do that in the fall. This is, you know, pre-orange and white game, pre-open practice. We got no idea who the quarterback's going to be, but you can go on our site today and kind of get a blank slate of what percentage chance do you give Tennessee to win each of their games this fall. If you go on our site and do that today, we take all those and compile them, and that helps us. We'll put that in the magazine. Kind of here's the level of fan expectation right now. The win total machine is a good truth teller, but I just think because of the schedule, it's kind of good this year to put some numbers in there and be like, oh, hey, I might actually think Tennessee's going to win 7 games this fall, and which sounds strange to be optimistic about given everything that's going on. So that's on our site today, and folks can go check that out. And again, if you get on there this week and do that, your input helps us put that magazine together for later this year.
It's one of my favorite tools, the expected win total machine. Go find it GameDayOnRockyTop.com. You can't lie to yourself when you go to GameDayOnRockyTop.com. Hey, Will, have a great weekend. We appreciate it, and we will talk to you next Friday.
All right, thank y'all.
All guests join us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. We will continue here on Sports 180. More football talk ahead of tomorrow. Masters score updates for you coming up between now and 3 o'clock. And between now and 3 o'clock, you can register here at the Fast Stop in Morristown. The address, 2900 West Andrew Johnson Highway. Give yourself a chance to win the Michelob Ultra Golf Giveaway. Huge prize, thanks to Edwin Watts Golf. A golf bag and custom set of tailor-made Sim 2 golf clubs valued at more than $2,000. Text the word that's here on the table with me at the Fast Stop. Big giveaway here as well with the grand opening. We'll continue on Sports 180 with Heather Harrington. I'm Josh Ward. Joel Silverberg with us on 99.1, the Sports Animal.